I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to a special version of the Sun Sports Scottish Football Podcast here in Transfer Deadline Day with myself, Roger Hanna and Gareth Law. And Gareth, before we get to the breaking news of the transfers, the major news at Hampden yesterday, semi-final sensation as Ross County ended Celtic's treble dreams.
Yeah, it was some game I think yesterday, Roger. A lot of credit has to go to Ross County for coming back the way they did. It was the worst starts possible. Jim McIntyre must have been pulling his hair out with the way things started. Obviously the red card had a big bearing on the game. I think one or two people perhaps when they saw it first of all were arguing it maybe wasn't a red card, it was certainly a penalty, and I thought it was a red card all day long myself. Thought FA Ambrose had to go. Another difficult game for FA Ambrose, shall we say. You just wonder where his future will lie perhaps come the end of the season now. I know Craig Gordon was also complaining about that goal that was scored when he was...
Because, I mean, the FA Ambrose, we saw it, well, Paul Hartley wouldn't see it in the big screen in sports scene last night. The rest of us saw it in the big screen in sports scene last night. I think we're all agreed FA Ambrose did catch Alex Schalk. What's more contentious though, as you say, the incident with Schalk and Craig Gordon at the second goal, and I know you tend to defend referees. Can you defend?
I don't know where this reputation is coming from, Roger.
Can you defend Craig Thompson on this one?
I don't think so. I mean, if you didn't see it, you can't call it. But you would at least expect one of his assistants to call it. Somebody to see it. For everybody to miss it. I think Kenny Clark was actually saying in the paper today that, you know, he's possibly watching the flight of the ball.
Yeah.
And misses it that way. But you'd imagine somebody would have picked that up, and you could totally understand. You don't see Craig Gordon get too wound up. Too easily, and then for him to speak as strongly and as passionately as he has in the paper today, I think sums up just how much unfairness that coming out the Celtic camp are feeling right now.
Yeah, I mean, when you get into the black arts and the 6-yard box of those set pieces, you know, sometimes the decisions will go for you, sometimes they'll go against you.
Martin Woods now with a corner kick for Ross County. Right to the far post, retrieved by Davis. There's Paul Quinn! And he scored for County, and they have the lead! Gordon was impeded there inside the area by Schalk.
The bottom line, and I think it was probably the bottom line of Craig Gordon's comments today, were, but Celtic didn't play well enough,
well,
and that's why they lost the game.
There is that. I mean, we saw, I think it was actually Aberdeen, beat Ross County with 10 men a couple of weeks back. So it can be done. I know Ronnie Dyler perhaps wasn't too happy with the pitch at Hampden, as that was another thing that was being mentioned, but I don't think they've got anybody else to blame but themselves, really, with the way they played.
Beginning to get into a habit of losing these semi-finals and these occasions at Hampden. Lost to Hearts, lost to St Mirren, lost to Cali Thistle, now lost to Ross County. Does it get into players' minds before they play in these occasions? Or should a goal after 26 seconds by Gary Mackay Stephen really just have put them in easy street?
I don't think it does get into these players' minds. I think they're too streetwise to let that happen. Maybe younger players, possibly it might, but there's a lot of experience at Celtic now. Even guys like, you know, Gary Mackay, Stephen, and Stuart Armstrong, they're still maybe relatively young, but they've played a lot of top level football in Scotland now. So I don't think that should worry them. And as you say, when they go one up so early, it should be, you know, on your way. And
always on occasions like this, Gareth, we tend to haver on about Celtic shortcomings and maybe gloss over the achievement of Ross County. They won a semi-final against Celtic in the Scottish Cup 6 seasons ago, got to a final, well beaten by Dundee United. They were only a championship club effectively then. They're now top six Premier. They're in a League Cup final against championship Hibs. Did he go into that as favourites?
I guess yes. Tommy Wright tried to turn the pressure onto Hibs before the other semi-final last week by saying that Hibs were favourites. When you look at Ross County's squad now, not just man for man as a starting lineup, but I think if you look at their squad, there's a lot of depth there now, a lot of experience, a lot of players who have been around the block. Guys like Paul Quinn coming back, massive, massive signing that was, I think. There's some real solidity about that team now. I saw Martin Wood speaking very, very confidently about the final last night, and I think there's a lot of belief. Jim McIntyre has done a tremendous job there since he's come in.
And back well by Roy McGregor.
Yeah, that's been...
It's a great occasion for the chairman, given, you know, his long-standing financial support for the football club and for the community in Dingwall.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you're spot on there, I think, Roger. You know, Jim McIntyre's done a great job, but he's been allowed a lot of room for manoeuvre. He's brought in a lot of players, shipped out a lot of players. I think Roy McGregor's done that even with Jim McIntyre's predecessor, Derek Adams. He was allowed to bring players in, and if they didn't work, then he was quickly allowed to ship them back out.
You can watch the goals from all the big SPFL games on the website at thescottishsun.co.uk/sport. We touched on Ross County's final opponents, Hibernian, and 2-1 winners. There's controversy there as well with the penalty in the first half. It looked to me as if Liam Henderson had dived over the challenge of Chris Miller. But what no one can argue with is, on the day, Hibs were a far better team.
Hibs on the attack again. This is coming, turning well. Then Henderson, oh, he's taken down there. Chris Miller's challenge, and it's a penalty kick to Hibs. St John's are very unhappy. They think Henderson beat a lot of that. Cummings now from the spot. It's goal number 18 of the season for Jason Cummings, and his fifth penalty kick. He really is a natural goal scorer.
I was there, Roger, and talking about the penalty incident, first of all, I'll hold my hand up. Everybody in the press box to a man thought it was a penalty. From the angle we were sitting at, we couldn't quite understand why St Johnstone were...
Yeah,
but then at the same time, I guess if you see players in unison complain like that, then you kind of have a feeling maybe something wasn't quite right about it. But so, I mean, it wasn't a penalty. I guess, I mean, you could say maybe by challenging the way Chris Miller did, maybe... He kind of put that question mark in the referee's mind, but it wasn't a penalty at all. On the back of that, as you say, Hibs were worthy winners. They had the better players, almost man for man. I think Joe Shaughnessy was about St Johnstone's best player, yeah. which summed things up, I think. John McGinn, again, outstanding. What a signing he's proved to be. I think he's. I mean, you could almost say he's back to the form he had at St Mirren, but he's actually better than that right now, the level he's playing at, the consistency he's playing at. The goals he's scoring. There was one point later on in the game when he almost did a Cruyff turn and went on a Maisie, and if he'd hit it one touch before he actually did, he might have had one of the goals of the season.
Yeah, it was terrific. Yeah. Now, listen, Gary, if you were a Hibs fan, and I'm not mistaking you for Kenny Miller here, if you were a Hibs fan, you've got three choices for glory this season. You can beat Ross County and actually get your hands on a bit of silverware. You can edge past Rangers and guarantee yourself promotion back to the Prem. Or you can beat Hearts at Tynecastle this weekend. Which of the three would you take first?
You're putting me on the spot here. Can I ask Kenny Miller?
We've had him in these last two podcasts. He's been relegated to the bench.
Is that right? I guess, I mean, for long term, I guess you'd say that promotion would be... I guess you could fudge that one, Roger, and you could say maybe you'd win the cup final, go down as a cup final legends, and then go up through the playoffs.
Yeah, that's not bad. So you're completely discounting a Scottish Cup winner. Is that at least?
I mean, even if they beat the Hearts on the weekend, the way their Scottish Cup form has been, they'll lose in the next round anyway.
What about St Johnstone? They didn't turn up. They didn't play well at the weekend. They haven't been playing well. It looks as if they're losing Michael O'Halloran finally to Rangers today. What does Tommy Wright need to do to turn St Johnstone around again?
It's a difficult one because for so long they've built their form and their reputation on solid defensive play, not conceding, and then getting the odd goal here and there. The start of the season was a total turnaround. They couldn't stop scoring, but there were a few gaps at the back, shall we say, as well. I think O'Halloran will be a big miss, but on the weekend there, he looked like a player who was probably been a bit affected by all this speculation. So I think, if anything, getting today out of the way will be progress for St Johnstone. Whether he goes, I mean, it obviously looks like he's going now. I just think getting that speculation away from the club, not having a player who's possibly been affected by what's going on in the background, and just some certainty about where they're heading. They certainly need to change things a little bit.
Yes, but a difficult one. Out the Scottish Cup to Kilmarnock, out the League Cup to Hibs, Ross County have overtaken them to go into the top four. They just need something to go their way soon.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a lot of... I mean, you looked at that starting lineup on the weekend there. You've got, you know, Chris Miller back from a hamstring injury. You've got Murray Davidson, never totally fit, you know, and Dave Mackay as well, and guys like this. They need somebody... I think they need them to get fit, or, you know... I mean, you mentioned Chris Miller. You know, he's had a stop-start season. You know, get a run of form, And I mean, the way he started the game, he actually started quite well, but he was taken off because he had cramp. He hadn't been playing for the past few weeks. So I think just getting some of these guys who've been in and out fit, a run of games, and get rid of this speculation, and then Tommy Wright will hope that will sort of get them back on the right track.
The Premiership card, it was in danger of slipping beneath the radar at the weekend. Inverness, Cali Thistle against Hearts off, Partick Thistle against Dundee United off. I was at Kilmarnock versus Hamilton, not a classic, let me tell you, Gareth, won by what I thought was a Conrad Balatoni own goal, albeit Carlton Morris is claiming it. The real action at Rugby Park, though, after the final whistle, Gary Locke's resignation, Billy Davis, hot favourite to replace him. What do you think that will bring to Kilmarnock, and can they get themselves out of this relegation mire?
I must admit, I was surprised to see Billy Davis's name in the frame. I thought his future would have continued to be down south somewhere. He's obviously had a lot of success down south, and the budgets that Kilmarnock are working towards now as well, both from what I'm presuming they can offer Billy and what they can offer him as a budget to spend. It's obviously the window's closing today, but he'll no doubt have one or two possible free agents that he might look to bring in.
Yeah, and that's a market you can look at, because out with the last window, Hearts picked up Arno Jim, Ross County picked up Alex Shalkin, both of them have worked quite well.
But I just didn't think that would all be, as a package, attractive to somebody like Billy. Yeah. I thought he would have remained down south.
Then again, out the game for 11 months.
Exactly.
How long do you wait before you jump back into something?
No, you're spot on. No, I mean, and that's a total valid argument. I think Gary Locke was almost on a hide into nothing from day one in the season.
I was going to say, I mean, how many managers, you look at the table, and you need to pardon Neil, the producer, who's a dyed-in-the-wool Dundee United fan.
Are we allowed to go here?
I don't want to add to his pain.
Uh-huh.
But they're 11 points clear of the automatic relegation place. Have the Kelly board, could they have done more to support Gary Locke?
I think they gave him a decent amount of scope and leeway to bring in players in the summer. Brought in a lot of experience. Your guys like Chris Boyd and Stevie Smith and these guys. Was also allowed to bring in, I think he brought an extra member of his backroom staff in. I think it was a sports scientist.
Yep.
And almost like that was leeway that previous managers possibly hadn't been granted. Allowed to bring players in on 3-year deals, which was almost unheard of at Kilmarnock as well. Lee McCulloch obviously came in.
Yep.
So I don't think he could, if he's got any complaints, I don't think he can complain that the Killie board didn't back him with some of his decision making. I think for whatever reason, the Kilmarnock fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I was going to say didn't take to him. I mean, he was obviously a captain at Kilmarnock and did very well that way. I know there's been a lot of grumbles down Killie way, and it's almost as though he's been on a hiding to nothing from day one. I mean, when he went in, I think it was a year ago, he went in after Alan Johnston left, started brilliantly, and obviously that got him the job. You wonder where his next move will be now, because he's obviously had a tough ending at Hearts and this ending as well. So you don't know where he will go next.
Not so long ago, it was Martin Canning who seemed to be under pressure through his job, the Scottish Cup exit at Annan, the 8-1 thrashing at Celtic Park. Take that game aside, in terms of the Premiership, Gareth, 3 clean sheets. A clean sheet at St Johnstone, clean sheet at home to Hearts, and a game I know you were at, clean sheet at Rugby Park at the weekend, and they somehow managed to get themselves back up to 8th in the table.
I think that's the bottom of the Premiership right now. It is so tight, as you said, One win at Martin Cannings, the man in the firing line. He seems to have tweaked that defence a little bit. He's kind of playing a back three now almost.
Gordon tucked in.
Yeah, but when they get the ball, it almost becomes a back four, and Darren Lyne gets a bit of freedom to almost go into a right-hand midfield role, and then Ziggy Gordon shuttles across to almost like an auxiliary right back, and it seems to be working. Certainly did against Hearts. They looked more solid there. It's been interesting that after the defeats to Annan and to Celtic, he's hinted both times about bringing himself back in, and always resisted so far. I think he's hugely reluctant to do it, but he's tempted at times. But I mean, the way he's gone now seems to be working. He mentioned after, I think it was certainly after the Annan game, that there were one or two players in his squad who were now playing for their futures, and maybe both defeats have answered questions he had in his head about certain players and the direction he's going to go.
Like SunSport on Facebook for all the Scottish football latest.
The other Premiership game of the weekend that survived the weather, albeit plenty of snow flurries at Dens Park, was Dundee against Motherwell, a 2-2 draw. And we can exclusively reveal in this SunSport podcast that Dundee United fan Neil took hospitality at Dens Park the weekend. He was a guest of the club there. He enjoyed his day, he enjoyed the game. I'm not sure he would enjoy Dundee's late controversial penalty equaliser.
Well, I don't know what I was more staggered about, the award of the penalty, or that Neil was at Dens Park. I'm torn between those, Roger. I don't know what you think.
Incredible scenes, and it was quite an incredible game. Chris Cadden took his goal very well. This young lad that Mark McGee's thrown into the midfield.
Yeah, I think one of the things Mark McGee's been determined to do since he's gone back in there is to give some of the young boys a chance, and I think obviously Chris Cadden's one of them. As you say, he took his goal very well.
Marvin Johnson now making for the byline. That's a good cross for Cadden. Well taken down, and a superb volley by Chris Cadden. It's his first ever goal for Motherwell, and you can tell from his reaction, brilliantly finished.
But that penalty award at the end, I felt for him, because I thought it was a soft call.
It's a weekend for controversial penalty calls. Everybody happy, young Scots lads like Chris Cadden coming in, doing well. Dom Thomas is there as well. There's other lads, I know he's not a Scot. Young Ben Hall's done well this season.
Yep.
Today, you were out there at Fir Park, Margaro Gomez added to the Motherwell squad on deadline day. It's to be hoped, not just Margaro, but any signing at all, it's to be hoped, doesn't restrict the game time for these young up-and-coming stars.
And I think at Motherwell, I don't think it will. I think Mark McGee's being very, very careful. He's obviously already got a small squad to work from, but I think he's being very, very careful that the guys who he brings in don't then stop guys from being promoted into the first team. So I think he's been very, very selective. On Gomez, I think he's the perfect signing for Motherwell right now. I mean, I think you've got Keith Lasley in midfield, but Gomez can bring some more legs to that midfield, I think. And he's obviously, I mean, we've all seen him play. He's now a solid, experienced SPFL Premiership player.
Stephen Pearson doing well, though, in that engine room. Just now, a terrific goal he scored at Dens at the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I just think, you talk about depth of squad at somewhere like Ross County. I mean, I think, you know, Motherwell can't compete with the depth of squad that Ross County have got right now. And as much as they want to add quality, they need to add a few numbers, you know, that can boast that kind of quality. Because as we saw a couple of weeks ago when they went to Hearts, you know, they haven't got that depth there that they can pull in a player when one or two are injured or suspended.
Paul Hartley in this transfer window has been quite quiet. He's been very quiet on sports scene. He didn't do the interview at the weekend after the Motherwell game. Arturo, Spanish striker, he's added to the squad. He usually likes to get some more in. Is that an indication that he couldn't do the business he wanted, or is it an indication he's content with the squad he's got now at Dens? Top six, they go to Dumbarton at the weekend with a chance to get into the quarterfinals of the Scottish Cup as well.
I think with the way Paul Hartley's been over there the past couple of years, I think he would have probably maybe wanted to bring in more than one. You're presuming that he must be pretty content with the squad he's got there. Greg Stewart, Kane Hemmings. I mean, even somebody with the way Hemmings has been scoring and the way Greg Stewart's been playing, you almost forget Roy Loy's there as well. You know.
Harkins now with a corner kick. Returned there by Arturo. Headed clearance. The referee's given a penalty. The challenge there by Cadden on hold. Well, this appears to be very harsh indeed. Hemmings on the spot. Never a problem for Kane Hemmings. In a rich vein of scoring form.
So he's, he's got a bit of depth there as well. And I mean, I was at Fir Hill, I think you were too, for the snowy
yeah,
game.
Yeah, 4-2 game.
Yeah, and when you see somebody like Gary Harkins play the way he did that day, you know, there's, you know, the way he played, he was almost unplayable in those conditions. So he's definitely got a lot of quality there, Paul Hartley. With the way they've been in the cup, he'll probably see that as a real chance that they can go all the way.
Keep bang up to date with Scottish football by following SunSport on Twitter.
A quick dip into the Championship. Rangers 1-0 winners against Falkirk at the weekend. Billy King scoring late on his debut. It put Rangers 8 points clear of Hibs, who have got a game in hand, and yeah, 10 points clear of Falkirk, who have played a game more. Surely now, that's the Bairns out the title fight.
Yeah, I think that's Falkirk gone now. As far as the title fight is concerned, I mean, we all know what the playoffs can bring. So yeah, I think, you know, you can't discount them from promotion. As we've seen, they've turned up in some of the big games this season, Falkirk. I think Peter Houston's done a brilliant job there with the resources he's got up against the teams he's up against. I think that was the goal on the weekend. Ensured that Rangers have scored in every game under Mark Warburton in the league, certainly. I think they were missing Jason Holt and Andy Halliday.
Yeah.
And I think those two players, certainly in the Championship, you know, they've been guys they can rely on. Holt, obviously, his energy, his goals, I think he was a big miss. Even his service, I think sometimes the balls through the middle and his kind of link up play in the 1-2s when he appears on the edge of the box. I think Rangers have missed him when he's been injured, and guys like Martin Waghorn can sometimes kind of benefit from having him kind of going beyond the midfield.
The fact that Rangers huffed and puffed for so much of the game against Falkirk, was that why they've come out and just tried again to push this O'Halloran deal over the line?
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, when I saw Billy King joining on Friday, it did cross my mind that was a sort of signal that Rangers were giving up on O'Halloran. Yeah. Obviously, he can play the same side, and I thought that would be that. So perhaps you're right, Roger, you know, whether you call it a wake-up call or not, I mean, they still do need to add quality, maybe not for this season, but certainly for next season. We've all heard what the likes of Dave King has been saying before Christmas about adding to the squad and bringing players in who are equipped for Europe. They haven't done that yet, I don't think, and you do wonder if and when they will do that.
Now Mackay for Rangers. Perhaps their last opportunity coming forward. James Taverner now. That's a good delivery. There's Billy King with a header. He's done it. A flying header there from Billy King. He's only been on for half an hour, and he scored a goal which will surely win the match for Rangers. It's a brilliant header by King.
Still Monday night. Still got about 6 or 7 hours before this transfer window slams shut. Uh-huh. Transfer window always slams shut.
Have you got your coffee ready for this late night, Roger?
I've got my coffee. The matchsticks for the eyes, Gareth, are ready to go. I'm going to outlast Jim White tonight.
But you've got your yellow tie on, I see.
I do. But as we look at this window closing, what about the deals that have been done so far? The ones that are about to be done, the clubs will hope. Starting with Celtic, Patrick Roberts in, confirmed. Colm Kazim-Richards looks as if he's going to join before close of play. You had that Eric Svyatchenko, who came in earlier on in the season. I think you broke the story in the SunSport Online, Gareth. Is that a successful transfer window for Ronnie Dyla?
Good question, Roger. Is this why you're in the seat?
Yes.
I think Patrick Roberts would be a fascinating one. Obviously moved for £12 million from Fulham. Big things were predicted for him because of that transfer fee, if nothing else, I think. And yet he's still, if you like, to prove himself.
Yeah.
So I think how he plays will be, as I say, fascinating. I think it's difficult to judge just how he's going to do. I must admit, if
that's up and down, we're not sure about him. Hearts have landed Don Cowie this afternoon after he's released from Wigan. Surely, if there's any guarantees in this window, it's a player of Cowie's experience to come in and do well for Hearts.
Well, yeah, and I think maybe that was why Morgaro Gomez thought, I better get out of here now, because chances are getting more and more limited. I mean, you talk about Hearts. I think Hearts have done the deal of the century if this Osman story with him going to China is happening. I think £1.5 million for a guy who's out of contract in the summer, a great bit of business considering they brought him in. I think he arrived for nothing. Yeah. He was a free agent. So that's certainly the deal of the the end of the day by a long, long way.
You've been out at Partick Thistle today. You're covering Thistle against Motherwell Tuesday night at Fir Hill. Thistle have signed Antonio German, back from Kerala Blasters in India, once of Queen's Park Rangers.
Yep.
Alan Archibald always likes to get a striker in January. It's normally Lyle Taylor.
Yeah.
But this time it's Antonio German. Is he in to lead the line, or is he in as cover for Chris Doolan, do you think?
Well, the way he's being presented is that he's going to be, they are going to be using or making good use of his versatility. As you say, he can play out wide and up front. They're the lowest scorers in the Premiership right now, Partick, and goals are something that they're crying out for.
21 and 22 league
games. Yeah, it's not good, is it? So I think you can only presume from that stat alone that he's coming in to play up front. Otherwise, they'd have gone for an out and out striker, and that would be that. So I can only presume he's in. He's in. I don't think he'll start tomorrow night, and it might be a couple of weeks until he does start, because I think his last 90 minutes was the start of December. But in India, he scored 6 goals in 9 games, playing in front of 80,000 fans every week. So he's used to playing in front of decent crowds. He's had a lot of clubs down the years, as you said. He came through at QPR, but he's been non-league. He's been at Brentford, been at Gillingham.
Sounds ideal for the SPFL.
Exactly. So yeah, I don't think we'll see him, or maybe see the best of him, possibly till the middle of February.
Gareth, that's great. Thanks very much indeed.
Thanks, Roger.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.